And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meat podcast with Davey Rispin and Mickey Brennan, as always. Davey, that's it. That's it for another year. Everybody's going out to pasture now for the winter. Winter well, get the few pounds on and start training again in January for what we'll do again, which is try and win the championship again next year. What a weekend of football, I suppose. Myself and yourself last weekend when we were previewing all the action and coming up, all the championship finals, we had spoken about how the weather had played havoc with all the games, and that looking ahead, it looked like it was going to be a good weekend of weather and that hopefully the football would follow suit. But it did. An absolutely incredible weekend of football.
It was a brilliant weekend of football. Incredible. Like the drama, the
standard.
The standard, yeah, like the quality games, how close most of the finals were about relegation and final outrights. It was just exactly what we needed, I think. As I think we talked about it last week, that maybe it hasn't been the best of champions. Probably more so talking about senior when we're mentioning that. But we needed a good senior final. Obviously, it was on TG Cahir, and thankfully it delivered. It was a great game between two fantastic sides in Summerhill and Retolt. Yeah, obviously Summerhill coming through, you know, in extra time and avenging last year's defeat and all the other years before that. It was just terrific. But that really capped off what was a savage weekend from start to finish. And I mean Friday night right through to Sunday evening.
Yeah. The weekend got off to a great start for you, but we'll come back to that in a while. Like, what about Kilbride bridging a 60-year-plus gap? Winning junior championships, the stuff of fairy tales for them as well.
Yeah, and it was the most convincing win from the weekend, to be fair. You know, they absolutely blew Clannagale away. They were outstanding, didn't have Josh Harford. Didn't matter at all. They knew the opportunity was there for them. They went after it, and that's an unbelievable achievement for them. And they can look forward to a game against Amsterdam the weekend after next. Thankfully, it's home.
What a game to get. No Harford, no problem. And that was their problem the last time they played Clonmacgill. Look, we've got a whole lot of stuff to get through on the podcast. We're going to get started. We'll just give a quick synopsis of what's coming your way. We're going to have the results from all the club championship. Obviously, we will be reviewing all of the games over on our Loyal Royals podcast, from senior finals to relegation, intermediate finals to relegation, right through to the Junior B final as well. We'll also later in the week have the Kiko Sports Team of the Week. It's the last team of the week for this year, but we also will be in the next few weeks putting together plans for the Kiko Sports Team of the Year. An unbelievable jersey once again this year for all of those players. So we're looking forward to that one. And we'll be announcing the Blackwater Inn Player of the Week, Top Scorer of the Week on that podcast is also later in the week. So there's still a whole host of podcasts coming your way from the Loyal Royals this week. We'll also have the Camogie results. They were at semi-final stage. We have the hurling fixtures. They're at final stage. And then we have some previews for the ladies' Keepack Club Championship finals taking place next weekend. Intermediate and senior. We'll be giving you the lottos, and we'll also be doing the Instagram. Instagram is packed this week as well. So we're going to get started with the results, and we're going to go into the Coolright Refrigeration Junior B final that took place on Saturday. It was Slane 2-10, Menalty 10 points. We'll move up then to the Ballerys Arms Bar, Restaurant and Guest Accommodation Junior Football Championship. The relegation game, and that one was played on Friday night. That was the one Davey was referring to at the very beginning. Kilmainham 119, St Dultans 214 after extra time. How many games went to extra time this weekend? Absolutely brilliant. Just showing you how fiercely fought all these championships and relegations were. In the Ballyrie Spar Junior Football Final, it was Kilbride 217, Clonmacnoise 110. It was 23 points to 13 in favour of Kilbride. The young guns from Kilbride really have grown up, that is for sure. In the Mead Farm Group Intermediate Football Championship knockout, again, Longwood 213, Dundry 115. That game played on Sunday in Boards Mill after extra time as well. In the final proper, it was Rakenny 118, Dalique Bellisdale 214 after extra time. Incredible stuff. Then we went to the Fair Isle Steel Senior Football Championship relegation game played in Waterstown on Sunday afternoon. We did a commentary on that one as well. It was a co-com, myself and Davey. The rare time that we are able to sync our diary together. When we got over to Waterstown for Screen and Minalvi, Screen 112, Minalvi 11 points. Screen protecting that 86-year run that they've had in Senior Football Championship with a late burst against Minalvi. And then Summerhill, 22 points, Rathaut 113 in the race for the Keegan Cup on Sunday afternoon, after extra time as well. Davey, it was the weekend for the draw if anybody was backing it.
Yeah, it was. And look, we kind of talked about it last week. We found it hard. I think me and you went against each other in an awful lot of the games.
Yeah,
probably was a real gauge as to how people felt about the games in general, that they could go either way. And the draws, yeah, like across the board, really. Just unreal. Just great to see. I don't think we'll ever see a weekend like it again, unfortunately, but we'll savour it for a long time to come.
It was absolutely incredible. It really was. When I looked down at it, Davey, you had picked Summerhill. I went for a cult. So we'll give you one up on that. We won't take full-time draws into account. We'll take result of games. Screen and Minalvi, you had gone for Screen, I had gone for Minalvi. But Kenny and Dalique Bellison, I went for Kenny, you went for Dalique Bellison. I think the only one that we agreed on was Longwood and Dundry, and it was Longwood who came away with the victory there, giving us both the point after extra time against a valiant effort from Dundry. Kilbride, you went for, I went for Clonmacnoise. And Kilmainham, St Dultans, I went for St Dultans, you went for Kilmainham. In the Junior B final, you went for Slane, I went for Minalty. And the funny thing is that it's not that we predicted them last week. For all of those finals, at the start of the year, we both picked our winners for this for each championship. We both had, and we went against each other on all of them. And both your team and my team made it to the final of the Junior B, Junior A, the intermediate and the senior. And in the end, I think you had what? 3 out of 4, and I had 1 out of 4 right. But again, just showing you, and 2 of those finals went to extra time as well.
A clean sweep for the We Are Me team. Our knowledge is unparalleled, Mickey.
Absolutely.
Is what you're getting at. Yeah, look, it's nice when it works out like that. Doesn't always, you know, we've made some pretty bad predictions throughout the course of the year and in other years as well. So we'll take it when they come. But yeah, listen, they could have went either way. An awful lot of those games, particularly the ones that obviously went extra time, they were literally kicking the ball in them at the finish. Baron Summerhill, who kind of pulled away in extra time. The other games were really, really close up until the bitter end.
Yeah, they really were. What was the standout game for you over the weekend, or was there a standout game? Because, you know, I suppose when, first of all, on Friday night, you were treated to that unbelievable spectacle over in Cortown between Kilmainham and St Dultans, and that went to extra time. And I know there was tears in your eyes at the end of the game when St Dultans got relegated back to Junior B. Then you had, obviously, Dalique Bellison and Rathkenny going to extra time on Saturday. You didn't think that could be bettered, but did the senior final top all on Sunday going to extra time? Because there was nothing between the teams right the way through the game until extra time.
No, there wasn't. It didn't top Saturday.
Okay.
Dalique and Rakeni was the one, I think. I genuinely, I said it Friday night after the game, I thought that game wouldn't be bettered, just, you know, by virtue of how good it was. Yeah, Kilmainham and the Ultans. And I have to say, Dalique Bellisdown and Rakeni was just on a different level altogether. It was savage stuff. The senior final was obviously great. It was a great first half, and it was probably error ridden then in the second. And it got exciting then towards the finish, you know, and into extra time. But the Duleek Bellies and Rakeni game, it had absolutely everything, you know, from start to finish. I just thought it was a fantastic game of football and a great advert for intermediate football in Meath.
Yeah, the championship that keeps on giving. We always say it and it always delivers. It's like the postman. Again, just to let our listeners know, we're going to be doing full reviews of all of those games over on our Loyal Royals podcast, Patreon.com/ We Are Meath. From the senior final, we and Summerhill, we've got interviews with Conor Gillespie, Kevin Ryan, Pod Geraghty, and Conor Frayn. And from the relegation final between Screen and Winalvi, we do have an interview with Kieran Lenehan at the full time whistle. From the intermediate, we've got from Rakeni, Donal Curtis, Charlie Cullen, and Owen Heavey. I think he got another goal on the weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Fantastic little player. From the junior A final, we have Leo Thurley from Kilbride, Jimmy Farrell, Craig Manning, and Adam Malone, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? And then from the relegation from Kilmainham, we've got Stephen Smith, the joint manager, Ger Morgan and Dylan Morgan. And then the Junior B final, we do have Des Teeling, Owen Feely and Francis Murray. So a whole host of them coming your way. And as I said, after that, at the end of the week, we'll be announcing our last Kiko Sports team of the week for the year, but not our last team, because we will be having the team of the year announcement, where we will be going through all of the championships to figure out who the Kiko Sports We Are Me team of the year will be. Anyways, moving on, Davey, we do have some Camogie results also from the weekend that we'd like to share.
Yeah, we do, Mickey. There was semi-finals down for decision across the weekend, starting in the senior. First game up was Nafina and Kiltale, and Nafina had a big victory over Kiltale. It finished Nafina 1-17, Kiltale 7 points. And in the other semi-final, it was a humdinger of a game. Kilmessan just about came out victorious against Ratoath. It finished Kilmessan 2-9, that's 15 points, to Ratoath's 3-5, that's 14 points. So it'll be a Kilmessan and Nafina final again, but only just. Moving on into the intermediate championship, Navan O'Mahony's had a big win against Nafina in the first of the semi-finals. Navan O'Mahony's winning out 1-17 to Nafina's 2-2. And in the other semi-final played, Trim had the better of Kilmessan second string. It finished Trim 1-9, Kilmessan 5 points.
So it's a Trim Navan O'Mahony's intermediate final. Navan O'Mahony's in the intermediate final in the Camogie, and of course in the hurling as well, and their footballers were beaten in an intermediate semi-final. And of course in the final of the senior, we're going to have Kilmessan coming up against Nafina. A repeat of last year's final as well, Davey, is it?
Is, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember last week you were saying that when you mentioned the Ratoath Kilmessan game, that one mightn't just, you know, of course Kilmessan were going in his favourites, but just keep an eye on it. You said this one could be tighter than many people expect, and it was in the end a 1 point victory for Kilmessan. But Ratoath, you know, they're getting there. You know, they're definitely bridging that gap.
They are. It's just a shame for them to come so close. And I know Kiltale have had a brilliant year, of sort of breakthrough year as well. They'll be a little bit disappointed by the margin of the defeat to Nafina, but I think green shoots for them getting to a semi final as well. But it does give us the best two in the county going toe to toe once again in Kilmessan and Nafina. Certainly a game to look forward to in a couple of weeks' time.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Ottermore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davey, sticking with the hurls, we're going to run through the hurling fixtures for the coming weekend. Of course, in Meath, it's going to be championship weekend for the hurlers following the football championship weekend last weekend. And you have a couple of the fixtures there for us.
Yeah, we'll start in the Ted Murtha Clonan and Footwear Senior Hurling Final, which is down for decision on Sunday coming in Park Talton. It throws in at 3 p.m. and it is, of course, Kildare taking on Rathaut. Should be a great game in that one, and Rathaut looking to get some retribution for their defeat last weekend and complete one half of a double. They've been doing that for so many years now. That double has eluded them, and as we know, it will elude them for at least another year, but they'll be going and giving absolutely everything against the Kildare side, who are still on for a treble. And that brings us seamlessly on to Saturday and the Intermediate Hurling Final, the JM Food Services Intermediate Hurling Final. Kildare second string playing Navan O'Mahony's first string. That takes place at 4 o'clock in Park Talton. And the curtain raiser to that is, of course, the K Windows and Doors Junior 2 hurling final, which takes place on Saturday in Park Talton at the earlier time at 2 p.m. And it pits Kilscare Moyla against Clannagale.
And Kildare have already lifted the junior championship trophy already. And as you said, in the intermediate final and in the senior final between Saturday and Sunday, as we said already, just good of them not to enter a fourth team into the junior, the K Windows and Doors Junior 2 championship. But yeah, incredible stuff from Kildare. And as we said, they are going for the treble. We're going to move on to the ladies then, Davey. It is the Meath LGFA Keepack Championship final weekend coming up. And we have some previews from the Junior A, Junior B, and the Junior A Intermediate and senior finals that are coming up next weekend. So I'll just run through the Junior A Championship first, Davey, and it's going to be Manalvi against Waterstown. It's, by the way, delighted as well, Simonstown hosting all these games next weekend, which is absolutely brilliant for the club. And I know that they are very proud to be hosting all these finals and are putting in a massive effort out there. And I know that the club is going to be looking spectacular for these finals. It's going to be Sunday at 1 p.m., and it's Manalvi qualified second in their group behind Clonmacnoise in for the quarterfinals, despite losing to the group winners 2-14 to 1-11 in their first game. They won their next two games, 1-15 to 7 over Moyla and 4-18 to 2 goals and a point against Dunsany. They came through a tough quarterfinal against a resolute Dunshaughlin Royal Gael's second team, 1-10 to 1-5, and met a fancied St. Pat's in the semi-final in a very wet Ashburn on the 30th of September. A smash and grab 1-point win, 1-9 to 2-5, with two late points from Louise O'Donoghue in the last minute, got them over the line and into that Junior A final after last year's defeat to St. Dalton's. Players to watch are the hard-working Shane O'Brien, Jennifer O'Loughlin, Aoife Weston, and the excellent Fia O'Brien. Waterstown blitzed their way through their opening group matches against both St. Peter's Dunboyne and Dunshaughlin's second teams. They faced a fancied St. Pat's in the third round and lost out 3-13 to 3-5. The quarterfinal against Moyla was a good all-round performance, and the 1-13 to 1-4 win set them up for a semi-final against Clonmacnoise. The match was played in Simonstown on Saturday the 30th of September, and they fully deserved their 5-point win. 3-8 to 12 points it finished. County Minor Sarah Jane Lyons, Lisa O'Neill and Lucy Reynolds put in an excellent performance to get Waterstown right the way through to the final. This match will be an excellent opener to the intermediate final, which takes place after the final between Manalvi and Waterstown on Sunday. So the referee for that one will be John O'Brien, and he's going to be supported on each line by Ian Dowdle and Sean Clark. So best of luck to both Manalvi and Waterstown in that Junior A final on Sunday at 1 p.m. in Simonstown.
Lovely stuff, Mickey. Moving on to the Intermediate Football Championship final for 2023. It pits D Rangers against Nafina. It's also in Simonstown on Sunday at 4 p.m. And both teams have reached this final after being unbeaten in their group games. Both drew one game in the group stages and both qualified for their semi-finals from their respective groups. Nafina won their opening game easily against her Tote on a monster scoreline of 9-10 to 3-3. They followed that up with a draw against Summerhill and finished their group stage with a hard-fought win against St Dalton's. The scoreline at halftime was 1-7 to 3, which flattered Nafina, and St Dalton's mounted a serious second-half comeback, which needed Nafina to steady the ship, managing the game out in the end on the scoreline of 1-14 to 1-10. The Rangers drew their opener against St Michael's 1-11 to 2-8, but stepped it up in the second game against relegated Boards Millside, defeating them 6-14 to 3-7. Their final game against St Columbkills was expected to be a tough away day, but they scored 4-8 to the Laytown Ladies 1-5 to secure their semi-final spot. Nafina took on St Michael's in the rescheduled semi-final in Boards Mill on Sunday the 1st of October. And after leading by 5 points at halftime, they maintained their lead until the end, winning out 1-12, 1-7. Nafina's experience got them over the line, and with players like Leah Devine, Maeve Downey, and of course, Sean Ennis, they will believe they're in with a great chance. Nafina will be hoping to do one better than last year's decider after their 1 point defeat to Screen, 1-7 to 9 at finish then. The Rangers are back in the final after a loss to Royal Gales in 2020, and after going out in the semi-finals last year, they will want to get back to senior. They won their Division 1 Football League this year in an exciting match with Oldcastle, but will want to do the double. Captain Orla Sheehy, Anna Miles, Orla Duff and Alana McNulty are the ones to watch. Both teams have experienced players, and this should be a highly entertaining game. The referee for it is Porrick Boyle from, of course, the Centerstown Club, and he's going to be supported by Stephen Cregan and Frank Heavey on each sideline.
Brilliant stuff, Davey. And looking ahead to, as well, the PPAC Ladies Senior Football Championship Final. This one will be played on Saturday. Both the Intermediate and Junior are on Sunday in Simonstown. And again, it's Simonstown that will host Dunshaughlin Royal Gales and St Peter's Dunboyne in a repeat of last year's final, which Dunboyne's won on a scoreline of 1-12 to Dunshaughlin's 1-9. Royal Gales have learned from that day and seem to be on a mission to go one better this year. They won the Massisa Cup final in mid-August, which gave the players a much-needed game time coming into the championship. The championship started well, a 3-10 to 12 win against Screen, and they accounted for Simonston as well with a scoreline of 1-13 to 8. St. Peter started their championship slowly with a win, 9-4 over Simonston. And they were pitted against the 2022 Intermediate Champions in the second group game, winning 3-10 to 12. Screen played well, but the firepower up front for St. Peter's Dunboyne was the difference. Fiona O'Neill and Emma Duggan scored 3-8 between them that day. Both teams clashed in their last group game. A win or a draw would place Royal Gales in the semi-final, while a win was needed by St. Peter's to avoid the quarterfinal. In a very tight game, the Dunshaughlin Ladies secured a draw, which put St. Peter's into the quarterfinal and allowed themselves to grab a semi-final spot too. Sorry, I misread a little bit of that. For large parts of the game, St. Peter's were on top, but the Gales came back in the second half. Late flurry by St. Peter's did not produce a winning score. Dunshaughlin awaited their opponent in the semi-final, while St. Peter's Dunboyne were drawn against the third-place team in the second group, Oldcastle, for their quarter-final match. St. Peter's secured the semi-final place with a solid 1-15 to 10 win. Centerstown were their opponent in the semi-final, and that was to be played on Saturday, September 30th. But the game had to be rescheduled for Ashburn on the 3rd of October due to an unplayable pitch in Screen. It was a calm, dry night before the game, but as soon as the ball was thrown in, the wind picked up and the rain came down, making it a tricky surface and a tricky conditions to play the game in. Both teams served up a cracker of a game, and the scoreline in the end did not reflect the Stacey Grimes-inspired Centralstown performance on the night, only a point behind at halftime. In the second half, the rain abated and St. Peter's asserted the control of the game. Emma Duggan and Shelley Melia were instrumental, contributing 3-8 between them in that 3-14 to 1-6 win. The Jocklemoyle Gaels had already played their semi-final against Screen at this stage in Bective on Saturday the 13th of September, despite the very wet pitch due to Storm Agnes that was around that weekend. Nevertheless, the game went ahead and the Gaels were victorious. 4-12 to 1-8, the scoreline. Niamh O'Sullivan, Niamh Gallogly and Maeve Byrne have been driving this team along through this championship journey. And both teams have up-and-coming players and good blend of youth and experience in their squad. So expect the final to be played at a fierce pace end-to-end. We're really looking forward to that final between Dunchoklin and Royal Gaels and Dunboyne. The referee on Saturday is Angela Gallagher, and she'll be supported on either side of the field by Neil Doherty and Pádraig O'Dwyer doing either line. So some cracking finals in store there, Davey. And I suppose when you look at the senior final, it's the senior final we'd all like to see. It's a bit like Rathote and Summerhill, two best teams in the senior championship by far, Dunchoklin Royal Gaels and St. Peter's Dunboyne. And they're going to go toe-to-toe for a repeat, similar to the senior men's final, a repeat of last year's final.
Yeah. Look, they've been by far and away the best outstanding two. There was nothing between them in the group stages when they drew, and they came through the respective semi-finals with a bit of ease as well, and rarely you do that. I was at the final last year. I thought it was a terrific spectacle. There was a massive, massive crowd at it. And there's a friendly rivalry now built up between the two. You've got the champions versus the contenders, and I do think Dunchoklin and Royal Gaels are getting closer and closer. I wouldn't be at all surprised if this is their year now to get better at the St. Peter's Dunboyne side, who probably will be without the services of obviously Vicky Wall maybe. So if that's the case, you might decide with Dunchoklin and Royal Gaels, but it could be an absolute corker of a final.
Yeah, best of luck to all the teams taking the field in Simonstown both Saturday and Sunday. Standalone fixture is the senior final on Saturday at 3 p.m. And then we have the junior and intermediate taking place on Sunday. So it should draw a massive crowd. Best of luck to everybody involved in that one. Okay, Davey, time to move on to our lottos. I'm sure the PROs have been in contact with you.
Yeah, I've got Waterstown up first, Mickey, and their results from Sunday night, the 8th of October. The numbers drawn were 2, 10, 25 and 26. No jackpot winner. They did have two match three winners, who were Sean Dunn and Nancy Devlin. Next week's jackpot is worth €8,800. Menalty from Sunday night as well, €3,400. The numbers drawn were 1, 4, 9 and 16. No jackpot winner. They did have four match three winners, each receiving €50. Marie Cusson, Davy Gargan, Paul McCabe and Miriam McKenna. The special online prize of €50 goes the way of Oran Henry from Cortown. And next week's draw takes place on Sunday and it's worth €3,600. Davin O'Matney's are next in, and their results from last week, 7, 13, 17 and 26, their numbers. No jackpot winner of theirs. Match three winners was Catherine Clark, and next draw takes place on the 10th of October, which is Tuesday night, and it's worth €13,100.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Otmore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
From Barrow next in, and their numbers drawn from last week were 13, 16, 18 and 20, 3,500 of a jackpot, not one. 30 euro winners were Noreen Clark, Patrick Carey, Linda Carey, Mal Gibney and Lisa McGovern. Kilmainham are next up, and their results from last week, the 2nd of October, no winner of their weekly jackpot, 7, 21, 22 and 25, 9,300 of a jackpot on offer next week. Five lucky dip winners, each receiving 20 euro from last week, were Belle, Anna and Fia and Maeve. So they all get a fiver each. Fair play to them, buy a few sweets. Maura and Peter Inslee, Fiona Lloyd, David Dunnah and Johnny Quinlan. So that's Kilmainham. Manalvi from last week, Monday night as well, 12, 19, 22 and 28. No jackpot winner, 320 euro winners, Lisa Mulvihill, Richard Cronin and Natasha Brewer. Next draw takes place tonight. It's worth 4,900 euro. You can play it on manalvigfc.ie or on the Club Force app. Alan Locker next in, and their results from last week, 5,800 of a jackpot, not one. The letters drawn were G, H, O and Q. And the next draw takes place on the 16th of October. The match three winners from last week and sharing 100 euro between them were, thanks to Susan Farrell for this, because she says, your man with the marker isn't great at writing. So the five lucky, she's actually taking them on to me. Jim Fox, Declan Lynch, Anne Briardy, Seamus McGee, and John Madden. So thanks a million to Susan for helping me out there, because it is quite hard to read them on graphic. But that's all from me, Mickey.
Yeah, no bother at all, JV. We have the three usual ones from me. On the Central Stones Lotto last Monday night, it takes place again tonight, so we're a little bit behind on this one. The lotto numbers drawn were 14, 22, 24, 28. There was no jackpot winner. There was five 25 euro winners. Tracy Kearns, Per Podobinska, Louise Coyle, Kieran Mulvaney, and Natasha Donnelly. This week's lotto will be 5,600 euro. I think the only problem I had there reading any of them names, I was fine with Podobinska, but Mulvaney kind of caught me out. So that's interesting. I'm fluent in Polish, it would seem. And then from Jelly and Simonson, we'll come back to Jelly in a minute, actually, because he has a little message, as always. So from Kilmainham Wood last Monday, the 2nd, numbers drawn were 4, 12, 25, 27. And there was no jackpot winner. The five lucky dip winners were Alva Weldon, Henry Corbally, Gina Kay, care of Jerry O'Brien, Jerry Dolan and Anne Dolan. If I'm not mistaken, Alva Weldon seems to do well on those lucky dips every other week. And this week's lotto will be a massive 3,800 euro. Moving on then to Jelly, and I did want to keep this to last because he did put in a nice little note at the end of it. The draw was taking place last Friday, the 6th of October. The jackpot was 4,000 euro. There was no winner. The numbers drawn were 4, 15, 28 and 32. The lucky dips were Laura Foley, Geraldine Buggy and Bridget Gilson. This week's lotto will be on Friday night and it will be 4,050 euro. You can play it online. Go to any of their social media links or social media pages there to get the link to the lotto. He said to me, Davey, just on our commentaries, because we've been doing a lot of commentaries lately on our Mixalore account and whatever, and hopefully we might even get a few more this year. Of course, we will have the regional championship coming up and we will be commentating on all those games where possible. He said, great to be able to keep up with the football this weekend when I wasn't able to make it. Really enjoyed the commentaries. And there was a whole host of messages in to us, Davey, about our commentaries. Fantastic numbers again. It's really, really building. And it's something that we want to continue doing, because there's a lot of club games that don't get covered by local radio and whatever. And that's understandable because they just can't cover everything. But the ones that we can get to have been brilliant. And we've been very lucky. And the clubs have really bought into it as well. It's they're sharing the links and getting it out there to the diaspora and the whole lot. And it's just fantastic to be able to bring it to them. And we want to thank O'Reilly Oakstown and PR Coyne and Sons from Clonard, your local Husqvarna dealership, because without them, without both of our sponsors, we wouldn't be able to bring those podcast or those commentaries to our listeners.
Well, yeah, well, look, the games over the weekend, there was a huge, huge number of people listening in, and the vast majority of them couldn't, for one reason or another, get to the games, whether they're being away or they're working or, you know, different things. So that's why we do it, really. We try and bring it to as many people as we possibly can. I'm not going to spoil Instagram Interactive too much, but Declan Byrne from Sechtown did send us one in, and he just wrote in, coming to a bin near you soon. because the bin is generally what we use for a prop when we're recording and to put our notes and stuff. Like, I used one on Friday night for the relegation game in Carton. We used one on Sunday. You've used one over in Sechtown, I think, before for the Carton game and in a couple of other places. So it's a great prop for us. So the branded bins is what's coming next year. We are being branded bins. So he sent a little gift for that through to the podcast, which is class.
Fantastic. Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. And look, it's not going to be, as we said, we're not finished because obviously we have the regional championship coming up, and we'll try to get to some of the Leinster competitions as well. Look, most of the time radio will cover them, but anything that's coming up, we will be bringing it to you. And as well as that, we'll also have we've a whole host of things coming your way. As we said, the Kiko Sports Team of the Year. We want to just remind our listeners that that is going to be a massive night. It always is. Last year's was fantastic. This year's is going to be bigger and better, we hope. We will be giving you out the date for that very, very soon. And we do hope that as many listeners as possible will come to that night, because it is a fantastic night in the Blackwater Inn in Kells, where we announce that team of the year and we give them out their commemorative jersey for the All-Stars for that year. Davey, time to move on to our Instagram Interactive.
Yes, Mickey, it was definitely our busiest Instagram Interactive of the year, I think it's fair to say. We've got an absolute bucket load of stuff to get through, so we better get right into it. It was about 70 sent in. Most of them I can read. So we'll start way down the bottom with Dean Peppard. And Dean Peppard just said Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights, Carton. Davey, you don't want to talk about that, I'm sure. It was a night where one of your neighbours was going to be joining you in Junior B. And in the end, it was your very, very close neighbours of St. Dalton's who joined us in Junior B. And you know what the championship draw is going to be next year already.
Park Tolton is already pre-booked.
Crow Park,
yeah, mightn't hold it. Just on that, and I think this will be the last from that game, Darren Kavanagh sent this one in, and he said the deplorable officiating in Carton Friday night, absolute joke.
Well, he wasn't there to see it.
Yeah, I don't agree. I think Ulton's only really have themselves to blame. I think the referee got the big call spot on, which was the pass back. I'm sure you were listening and you remember it, Mickey. By the letter of the law, that was the big decision. The red card to Rory Buchanan was a red card. He lashed out. He had absolutely no need. I'm not sure, was there any other decisions that I didn't, you know, thought, but I didn't think the referee had a poor time at all, to be honest.
Well, if any of our listeners out there remember things that the referee got wrong that Davey can't remember getting wrong, do get in contact with us and let us know what the referee missed and what Davey missed, because Davey obviously was tying his laces or something at that stage.
No, missed nothing. Paddy Clark did fine. Bobby OS said the little village of Summerhill.
The little village of Summerhill. Yeah, I love it. No, absolutely incredible. You know, it's a testament to them, you know, to go back to the well year after year. They could have easily thrown their arse at it at this stage. And I just think it's brilliant for them. I'm disappointed for Rathaut. I really am. They're a good bunch of lads. I like the lads and the whole lot. But Summerhill, to keep coming back the way they have done and to come back on Sunday and to win it an extra time, incredible stuff.
Andy McWeeney said Kilbride are back.
Well, they are, absolutely. Again, another wonderful, wonderful journey and story. You could write a book on the whole Kilbride story, and, you know, delighted for them.
Sean Fitzgerald said Barry Dardis with the applause symbol.
Yeah. did you see? I actually meant to send it to you, Davey, because I'm sure you've seen the video who was it? Gary Alders, yeah, good friend of mine, Gary, took the video. I was sitting right behind him, and I I did it in freeze frame, and Barry is turning and he's facing the crowd before the ball, maybe 5 or 10 meters before the ball goes over the bar. And it's out to the left at that stage. It's not even, it hasn't even turned fully to come in towards the posts, but he knew himself. It's one of those ones, the free taker knows when he strikes it. Yeah, that's going over.
And he's got previous, and Gary has... Yeah. Gary was the man that previously videoed it from the Cusick stand against Donegal, which is amazing. But I was actually standing beside Barry for the presentation when Podge Garrity was going up to collect the gig. And Barry turns around to me and he says, geez, he says, I hope the cameras didn't pick up the celebration. And I said, what do you mean? I didn't see it at the time. And he turned around and he did the Jude Bellingham celebration, you know, and he was hoping the cameras didn't. He knew exactly where they were. Anyway,
it was very Eric Cantona-esque as well. It was just turning around, giving the chest towards the crowd. It was brilliant.
I had a few Malibu milks with Barry on Sunday night, just to reminisce. Anyway, Gary Sherrock is next in, and he said the clutch point kicking from Ryan Moore in the intermediate relegation final, outrageous.
Yeah, again... coming up against a resurgent Dundry side, a Dundry side that did not want to go down, and it took everything from Longwood to keep their intermediate status, and Moore being excellent once again for them. Like he is always excellent for them.
Yeah, Kieran McCormick said Dunboyne's historic win in the minor.
What was historic about it? It's not their first.
Yeah, no, it's not their first, but it's their first in, definitely their first in 9 years, I think. I think they won it 2014, was it? Or 2013. It's definitely first in 10 years. And I suppose, look, they've been away from maybe the top table for a while, and that they haven't really been challenging St Colum Gills at that level. And to get over St Colum Gills in such a memorable final, I'd imagine will live long in the memory for them. Yeah.
Yeah, great to see the minor final the same day as the senior final as well, because... it's where it should be, and it makes it the spectacle. Like, do you know what? It gives these minors a taste of what it's like to play in a pressured environment, and going on to play county or going on to play senior.
Yeah, John Harkin said Dunboyne's best minor team in 100 years. That's a bold statement, isn't it?
Sound right. Still an incredible feat from them, an incredible win as well over St Colum Gills.
Yeah, Kerry Cole said. Sorry, let me see here what she said. A joke that both men and women semi-finals and finals hurling and football is clashing this and next weekend.
As in the Camogie semi-finals and the men's football finals?
Yeah, and then the ladies' finals next week and the hurling finals next week.
Yeah. As in that they couldn't get...
I think just more. There is another one later on, but I think her point is just that they're clashing. They're all at the same time, really.
Yeah. Oh, right. They're especially if there's people who want to get to both of them, it's a bit of a disaster. But
yeah, Paul Munley said Conor Lyons probably won't get the plaudits, but thought he was exceptional. Absolutely spot on. Conor Lyons has played all year for Summerhill, and he got dropped unfortunately for the final. Came on, he kicked two clutch points when it really mattered. You know, some performance from him coming on with the right attitude, looking to influence the game, and he did just that. And that's a really, really nice one from Paul, because he probably won't get the plaudits, but he probably should nearly, you know.
Yeah, I was just going to say or echo what you were saying about a player to play all year and then get dropped for final, but to come on. And the attitude he showed, and to kick those 2 points, again, this is what I'm talking about with Summerhill. Like it's incredible, and the knocks and the heartache and everything they've suffered over the last number of years, and getting the finals and losing them, and even Conor Lyons, you know, the heartache for him not being started in that final, but obviously had the right attitude to come on, and shows you the togetherness of that group to be able to do what they did.
Yeah. Sean Murphy said Conor McQueeney outstanding for Kilbride.
You were there for this one, Davey, and he was a player that we said to look out for going into that final.
Yeah, best player on the pitch, 6 points on the day. All of them from play, I think. It was box office stuff, and under the watch of Colin Maurer too, I think he'll be mightily impressed with his performance.
Brilliant stuff.
PS Tapes says Friday night, Giroud and Arsenal. What a weekend for Rispin. That was Friday night.
He's forgetting that you're a Summerhill fan as well, and that you ended up in Summerhill. So Jesus Christ, it was if Carlsberg dig weekends, Davey, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I only kind of made my mind up to go to Summerhill after the Arsenal game. Should I text you, Mickey, just to ask you for your permission? but yeah,
I'm not his dad. I'm not his dad, by the way, everybody. I'm not his dad.
Yeah, so you keep saying.
In Hanratty said Owen Frame to work his way into the starting Mead team if Lynch or Morris get injured.
Well, see, that's another thing, you know, like, he's another one of those style of footballers that we, and it's mad the amount of that type of footballer that we're after producing over the last 10 years. You know, there is a multitude of that type of footballer. Banti, you know, you think of Banti, you think of the two boys, you think of Frayne, you think of, like, there's more coming through. Like, there's a conveyor belt of that type of footballer.
Yeah. Megan Green Hall says Summerhill were the better team yesterday.
Davey?
Yeah, they were, and probably should have won it in normal time, in truth. You know, Johnny Lavelle puts them a point up 5 minutes into injury time. You have to give it to Ratoth. They've done it all year. They find a way, you know, just to pull themselves. When it got to extra time, though, like, they lost Brian McMahon, they lost Gavin McGowan, they lost Joey Wallace, all through cramp or injury or whatever, and Summerhill just took it on to a different level. And Ratoth couldn't live with that. The better team ultimately did win on the day, no doubt.
Yeah.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
DFC World said Sam O'Leary nearly killed in the final minute of the intermediate final and no free given.
You saw this one, David.
I did. I'd like to see it again because I did feel he was fouled. But Andy Smith had a terrific game, by the way. So in the last play, it was a draw. This is a normal time, by the way. And Sam O'Leary kind of makes a backdoor cut, right? And he comes across, you know, his man without the ball. And it looked like he was obstructed as he was just coming on to get the ball. And nothing was given. And the final whistle was blown about 5 seconds later. If the free was awarded, it was about a 40-meter free, probably last kick to win it. Lucas, I'm not sure. I need to see it again. My instinct at the time was free, but I could be completely wrong. That was my first instinct, though, and I stick with that. He wasn't really killed, though. It might have been a free, but he's absolutely
there might have been a bit of poetic license there, overreaction or whatever. But Andy Smith, really good referee, and he would have been closer to the action as well, I'm sure.
Tyke Bennett is next, and he said Kyle Tallon has the best mullet in the county, hands down.
Well, you saw all the mullets on the weekend. There's only a player playing in a county final can have a mullet. And did he have the best mullet of the weekend?
Yeah, I wouldn't be a big fan of mullets, Mickey. It's horrendous, but like if you want it, it's the most prominent mullet probably in the county. I think it's horrendous, but it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the best or the worst, in my opinion, is the worst. Maybe other people think it's the best.
I respect Kyle Tallon for his mullet. And if I had enough hair, I'd probably grow it myself. I wouldn't be one of these for the skin fades and all that you young fellas are into.
Michael Brady said Owen Frame needs to start Mead Senior.
Well, look, as we said, like he's going to have to work his way into that team. And what it does is it puts the pressure on the likes of Morris and Aaron Lynch going forward as well. So it doesn't just on Jordy Morris. He was exceptional on the weekend in King's Court's win in the Cavan Senior Championship semi-final over Rammer. He was just outstanding. There was a few people there that knew Jordy Morris, but didn't know much of him and whatever. Like they hadn't seen him playing too often, sitting beside me. And they were just like going, the guy's a wizard.
Great to see. Great to hear. Kieran McCormick said, John Harkin, outstanding 45 to win the minor championship. Yeah, I was just in for this actually because it was obviously coming from the relegation game. So I just caught the tail end of extra time. And it was a clutch kick, you know, from a really good talent as well in John Harkin, who we've obviously seen a couple of times with the minors. Yeah. Play an immense future, no doubt. Lucky to be working, said Leo Turley, athlete. Of course, Leo Turley guiding Kilbride to a championship 20 years on from his senior win with Blackhall Gales.
Yeah, fantastic stuff from Leo Turley and from Kilbride. And poor Leo, I'd say, is probably in the attic today. And I'd say there's a few of the lads in the attic, but they'll be coming back out of it to go on day two of the celebrations.
Day three for them.
Day three, yeah.
Yeah. And they look forward to a game against Amsterdam. I'm sure they're pretty happy it's a home game, though, because I wouldn't fancy letting all them young lads out in the wild in Amsterdam for an away day. Could you imagine? Especially Leo Turley and Paul Nestor and the Mileses as well. Jesus Christ.
I'm not casting any assertions on any of those people who went to Amsterdam.
Leo's looking forward to it, though. He did mention that in the post-match interview, which we'll hear on the Loyal Royals. Anyway, Tadhg Martin, Slane player, said Evan Murray keeping the player of the week to 1 point, and he did.
Okay, excellent stuff from Evan Murray. And we actually spoke about that possible combination last week in the previews of the games, and Murray did the job.
He was outstanding, yeah, 100%. Lyncho 1980 said no flags in Ratolt. You'd barely know they were in the county final.
Funny, I was driving through Ratolt last week with kids and stuff like that, but now I had seen that the club had called the town to get behind them and says, you know, let's get our flags in, let's do this, we're going to do this. They had loads of things planned or whatever, but there was very little up. So there was very little up, and that's not down to the club. Like, I think that's down to the fact that there's nearly 9,000 people living in Rathold, and the majority of them are not from Rathold, you know.
Mm. Yeah, and the flip side of that, I was obviously driving through Summerhill for the last couple of weeks, coming to and from work, and it's, if you haven't been through it, you need to drive through it for the next couple of days before they come down. It's just, it's amazing. And yeah. Do you know, Mickey, it was sort of reflective in the crowd as well, I felt. Like,
it's a poor crowd.
Yeah, like Summerhill had far more noise, atmosphere and numbers there than what Ratolt had. And I'm not sure, was that a thing of maybe Ratolt are sick of winning? Obviously, you never get sick of winning, but you know what I mean? That Summerhill's want and desire was more than Ratolt potentially. I don't know.
Like, as I said, like, you know, they deserve huge plaudits for going to the well back and back over and over again. And you know, and for the community to believe in their team the way they do, and for the players to continually give them, you know, hope, and then eventually they follow through on it. And yeah, 100%. Like, I think it was a year where Summerhill were not, if they got to the final, were not going to lose. You know that kind of way.
Francis Murray said Kyle Tallon winding down the clock. I don't know why you're still listening at the end of the commentary of the Junior B. Yeah, Mickey
didn't get the end of it.
He got an awful belt, actually, and he was down for probably 7 or 8 minutes.
Was he fixing his mullet?
I think it was the mullet that probably saved him in the end, to be honest. he had a little bit of a softer landing, but no, he wasn't great coming off. I actually met his dad coming off the stand, and he was saying he was fine. He walked off, but he had a bit of a neck brace or a jaw brace on him as he was walking off. So hopefully he's not too bad, and you know, he can enjoy the celebrations. But the good one for Francis there that he was winding down the clock. Joe McGuinney said Paul Nestor, the GOAT, a junior and minor championship in the one weekend. Some coach, yeah. Paul's with every team, but he just brings success, doesn't he? He's absolutely incredible. He was with John Chalkin for the last number of years. Kilbride, he's part of Leo Turley's team, and he's part of the Dunboyne minor team as well. He's a fantastic man, and I don't know where he gets the time from to do it all, but yeah.
How did his team do in the regional championship last year?
They got to the semi-final.
Semi-final. Okay, one blot in the copybook.
Sorry, the final. They were beaten in the final.
So one blot in the copybook for this year for him. But yeah, brilliant man, great football and knowledge, great football and man as well. Like, just, yeah, incredible stuff.
Shane Trainer said Ben McDonagh new treble tattoo has to be done.
Just to add to the other tattoos, obviously.
Yeah. He's got a nice array of them. Ryan McNamee said Owen Griffin's shiny red boots lighting up Park Tolton on junior final day.
Did you see them?
Yeah, it matches his hair. he's very recognisable, but yeah, very impressive boots, to be fair. I like a coloured pair of boots, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the same myself. I'm a big fan of the white boots now, to be honest.
Yeah. Jess X Cronin said a joke that the men's semi-finals and finals are in Park Tolton and the ladies get the Trim Road pitch. I think that's in reference to the Camogie.
At the end of the day, the Camogie Association and the LGFA Association are not under the GAA umbrella. So the GAA, like, are going to look after their own sports. I know the LGFA and the Camogie are our sports, and to us they are. But if you look at the actual associations, they're separate associations. They actually don't own pitches themselves. They will obviously be brought in under the GAA umbrella, and that should change all that. But obviously, one association that's loaning pitches to another association is going to give precedence to their own association.
And listen, there's games as well. Like, it's not as if Park Tolton was lying dormant for the weekend either. Yeah. Like, you had 5 finals in it over 2 days, so there was literally no wiggle room for other games.
If the Camogie or the LGFA wanted to use Park Tolton, they would have to look at the calendar and say, right, well, can we have this date or can we have this date, and work around that instead of saying that, well, the GAA didn't allow us on the same day as them to take up Park Tolton. I see his point, but there's also the other side of that coin as well.
No, absolutely. Robert Purfield said some serious championship haircuts on show on TG Cahir on Sunday.
Yeah, look, that's one of my favourite things. It actually makes me laugh as the championship haircut. And even we were playing in the semi-final last week, and walking into the dressing room and you're looking around, all the lads looking slick. And you're like, let's think about the football match here. Don't worry about your bloody hair.
It's funny though. It's like that's all part of the routine, you know, for a lot of players. Getting the championship cut, you know, like, some players are, if they didn't get one, they'd feel like they're doing something wrong, or, you know, it's not.
Yeah.
It's just part and parcel of it, yeah. Noah McBride said the two Burns from Rakenny have to get a look in with me, the end of.
Ah, they're fabulous. It's like, in the semi-final, I was so impressed with them, so I was. They've gone and done it again in the final. But really, really good footballers. And, you know, what ages are those two lads? Are they 19, 20?
Oh, Jesus. Give me a second, because I have the program in front of me here and I should be able to pull it out. Pair of them, yeah. That's all they should be, Mickey. They're very young. Like, I'm just looking at Sean O'Hare. So Adam is 19, yeah. Adam Byrne, and Mark is actually 24. So Mark's like a veteran in comparison.
Oh, yeah. Mark is finished. Marcus finished. Hang up the boots. He's retiring after that.
Oh, God. Keith Smith said, amazing weekend of football. Referee Patrick Coyle gave a masterclass in the minor final.
I didn't get to see the minor final myself.
No, likewise. But, I didn't see enough of myself.
But I'd always take Keith's view as being gospel because he's very fair. Keith, an unbelievable referee himself, and he's right, an unbelievable weekend of football. It really was, and it just shows you get a little bit of weather and you're going to get amazing football in Meath.
Next one in is from Christy Smith, and he said, how did the Ratoke number 4 not get a red?
Was that Kieran O'Farrell?
It was.
And it was the shoulder, the late shoulder, straight in. You're pointing at your elbow there, Davey, but on the video, he just comes clean into him. But like the ball is a metre and a half away. It is a terrible, terrible tackle. I've had it sent to me by a few people around the country, outside of Meath, and going, that's a dirty act by the Rathode player. You should definitely have gone for that. And at what stage of the game was that?
Oh, Jesus. Well, it was extra time. Okay. There was probably
frustration.
3 minutes left. Yeah. Doesn't really make up for it. You know, I thought it was...
absolutely.
I'd know Kieran quite well, and I was surprised and a little bit disappointed to see it because it wasn't a nice one. And thankfully, David Dalton was absolutely fine after it. But look, and I'm sure he regrets it too. But I think it should have been a red, and it's probably one that David Coldrick missed. Otherwise, I thought he had a pretty flawless game.
An interesting one as well, David, that didn't come in on Instagram before you go back to it. But when I was, obviously I missed the final because I was commentating on the two semi-finals in Cavan on the radio, Northern Sound, on Sunday. But it was halftime among the games, and we were getting a sandwich, and I was just looking at Twitter, and I was like, Jesus, the Meath Senior Football Championship has gone to extra time. And everybody that was standing there was astounded. They were like going, why is it not going to a replay? Why did it go to extra time? And I said, because we're not as miserable as yous are down here thinking of another day out for a county final.
So there would have been a replay. There was no penalties, right? So yeah, had it been a draw after extra time, the replay likely would have been next Saturday and the hurling final would have got pushed out by a week because there is a little bit of leeway there with that. So that's what would have happened. Now, it would have brought up all sorts of fixture congestion because then you have, let's just say, Ratoke did do the double. They could potentially be playing the hurling final in the first round of the Leinster on the same weekend. So I think all round, I think probably the GA and me, they were pretty satisfied that there was a winner on the day and that they didn't have to go duking for next week or the weeks after.
Oh, yeah, but in Cavan, what they were saying was that it, at the end of full time, it went to extra time. They couldn't believe it.
We'd have a full bill of games if that was the case in all the games, which I wouldn't be complaining about, by the way.
All the games would have went to replays next weekend. We would have had a full weekend of exactly the same as last weekend. But yeah, absolutely no. I agree that it goes to extra time and then a replay after that with extra time and penalties.
That's it for Insta. It was a long one this week.
Is that it?
That is it.
Massive Instagram. Well, look, we've got a whole host of podcasts to get through this week, so we might just call it at that. Again, so much coming up. We'll have the Leinster Championship competitions for the clubs. We'll have the Regional Championship coming up as well for... do we know when that's starting, Davey?
A couple of weeks' time, I think, Mickey. The managers have all been revealed and everything, so yeah, won't be long.
So that's going to be starting in the next couple of weeks. And, of course, we'll be announcing the date for the Kiko Sports Team of the Year, that brilliant night that we'll be having in the Blackwater in Kells in a few weeks' time. It won't be that long away, that we know that for sure. David just has to get back from Gran Canaria or Amsterdam or wherever it is that he's going to in the next few days. Well, look, that is it from this episode of your We Are Meath podcast. Remember, We Are Meath. Why matters more.